The Everything Home Podcast is brought to you by Helping the People. We're a real estate company, home resource center, and nonprofit organization that's disrupting the home buying and selling experience by providing relationship-based real estate with a socially conscious purpose. We match home buyers and sellers with our preferred realtors, and 25% of their commission is donated to our Homes for Veterans program, which financially assists veterans who want to buy a home or need home improvements for their service-connected injuries. We created this program as a way for Americans to honor the men and women of the United States military for their service to our nation and the sacrifices they've made. So if you're looking to buy a home or it's time to sell yours, please give us a call at 833-694-6636 or visit our website at helpingthepeople.org. Not only will you be working with our realtors, who are among the top 1-5% in Arizona and the greater San Diego area, you'll be changing the life of a veteran while we change yours. That's 833-694-6636 and helpingthepeople.org. We look forward to you becoming a part of our very unique community.
Welcome to Everything Home, where we talk about life, stuff, and balance. Your home is the base for everything in your life, from the structure and contents to what goes on inside and within yourself. To make sure this foundation is solid as can be, we invite a special guest to share something you will find enlightening, inspiring, and entertaining. Now here's your host, Michelle Swinnick. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Everything Home, where we talk about life, stuff, and balance. Today's show, Deep Sea Valkyries, a veteran nonprofit organization. My guests are the founders, Misa and Josh Greva. Their mission is to enhance the lives of veterans through the treatment of PTSD while introducing them to healthy recreational marine-based activities. Misa and Josh share their holistic approach to healing through guided sea adventures, group counseling, and daily spiritual devotions, mind, body, and soul. The difference they've made in many veterans' lives is just remarkable. And some of those vets have been so inspired, they're now giving back within their own communities. Deep Sea Valkyries is one of Helping the People's veteran nonprofit organization partners and receives a portion of donations received through our Homes for Veterans program. Helping the People is a 501c3 nonprofit organization and licensed real estate company. We match home buyers and sellers with our preferred realtors, and 25% of their commission is donated to their Homes for Veterans program, which financially assists veterans who want to buy homes or need home improvements for service-connected injuries. So if you're looking to buy or sell your home, please contact us at 833-694-6636. That's 833-MY-HOME-6, or visit our website, www.helpingthepeople.org. I promise you'll have the best real estate experience of your life. And remember, just being conscious of your choices and buying decisions will change a veteran's life. It's time we help those who served for us. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Michelle. How are you this morning?
I am excellent. And we've got Josh there too, right?
I can hear you. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we are good to go. Why don't you tell us about the organization?
So as you said, Michelle, our organization is Deep Sea Valkyries. Our mission is to enhance the lives of veterans through the treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder and other combat-related injuries while introducing them to healthy recreational marine-based activities.
What does that mean for someone like me who doesn't do sea things?
Sure. Our program is pretty unique in that we try and approach this from a holistic point of view or a holistic approach. So for our participants, they conduct group counseling sessions, and we couple those with these marine-based activities. Those activities include scuba diving, snorkeling. We do some deep-sea fishing when the weather allows, and then we also go out and we explore remote islands. And then all of this is rounded out with daily spiritual devotions.
We're in Arizona. You're in Arizona. There's no real ocean water here. Where did this all come from then?
So this all really started several years ago. I was injured. I had a back injury. And a lot of the things that I enjoyed doing outside of the military, things like mountain biking, rock climbing, skydiving, my doctor said that those probably weren't the best activities to do with a back injury. So I started migrating towards water-based activities. It was part of my therapy that I was doing anyways, and I was told that I would be able to dive due to the near weightless experience while in the water. And I found out that it was something that also helped me with some of the post-traumatic stress that I was dealing with. It allowed me to focus. It allowed me to find some calmness. And so that's kind of where the program started from, or what kind of guided us along this path. We were fortunate enough to have this vision of taking veterans, getting them together, conducting these week-long retreats. And we basically take them down to the Bahamas, and we get on a boat, we head out to sea for a week. So we kind of get them into a beautiful place on earth that not a lot of them have probably had the opportunity to go to. And we get them away from all of the kind of the chaos of their everyday life. So that's kind of the basic idea behind the whole program.
Since you've experienced this, what is it like when they go under the water? You said it allows them to focus and get their mind off of everything. Is it just because it's so quiet and it's peaceful?
It's a combination of, I think, a number of factors. You know, a lot of the men and women that are in the military, A, they have these A-type personalities. They're usually very mission-driven or mission-oriented. And a lot of their life that they experienced while they were deployed, they were set into a routine. When these men and women are injured or when they leave the military service, they don't always have that structure in place when they get home. Most of them, in fact, don't. They're returning to what was their life prior to the military, and all of a sudden it all seems foreign to them. And so it starts with really before they even go on the retreat, when they conduct that initial dive training, they're getting reintroduced to everything as simple as using checklists, making sure that their equipment that they're using is in proper operation, because this equipment is going to keep them alive just like their combat equipment kept them alive while they were deployed. And then it transitions to them traveling again. And so for some of the veterans, that in and of itself is an achievement, leaving a significant other, leaving a family member, and getting back on a plane and traveling somewhere, particularly to a foreign country. And then the next step is most of them have no idea who the other person is. So now you get 15 strangers, 5 staff members, and some individuals that are managing the vessel for us, and they're thrown back into tight quarters where they are presented with this challenge of, I either get along with the people I'm around for the next week or I'm going to be miserable. And it's amazing the switch that is flipped in the veterans, because even though it's a different experience, the setting and the conditions are very familiar to them. It's amazing. We joke around, you know, the first 5-10 minutes in the airport when we're kind of rounding up everybody versus 24 hours later, you would think, you know, these men and women have known each other for years. And then from there, it follows this model of a lot of the things that they experienced while they were in the military, regardless of their branch. They're working in group settings, they're conducting these sessions, but then when they're out on the water and when they're diving, particularly underwater, for many of them, it's a new experience. For some of them, they're already dive certified. There's something that is calming about being underwater. NISA likes to call it a perfect peace, because it is so quiet. Generally, the only thing you hear is your own breathing, and that in and of itself is therapeutic and something that we teach them to carry on after their experience with us when they start to feel some of that stress coming up in their daily lives. They're also working with one of their, we call them dive buddies in the military, would have been their battle buddy. So every diver is partnered up with another diver, and they are sticking together, and they're kind of watching out for each other to make sure that if one needs assistance, the other one is there for them. It's not necessarily just that week at sea in our program that's where the healing comes from. It really starts as they're selected, getting ready to participate in the retreat, once they do everything during their week at sea, and then it even carries on afterwards.
When they get out of the military, they don't have really any transition programs where it's going to teach them these skills that you're giving them on these excursions that you're doing,
right? That's not how it works.
Well, that's kind of a loaded question. You know, everybody exits the military in one of a couple different fashions. Some simply complete their contract and they leave the military. Others retire. Others are wounded and they are medically separated. But those experiences are all unique, or they can be unique. And it can also be unique depending on which post you're at, or where your duty station is, you know, where you're based at. The military overall has a transition program. Each branch of service calls it something different. Generally, it's geared towards helping you build a resume, talking about job interviews. Often they'll bring in employers. They may talk about educational benefits. And that's great. You know, those are some of the skills that veterans need. So you've deployed to Iraq or Afghanistan, the Horn of Africa, whatever the case may be, and you've returned, they do what they call reintegration training, and it's a short time period where they work to try and get the service member kind of reacclimated, you know, trying to get them to understand they're back at home or they're in a safe spot. And all that generally does a decent job in the very short term or the near term. But once that service member separates and they're gone, it can still be a shock because they've gone from, you know, 24/7 being told what to do and having that tight-knit community surrounding them to maybe there's a couple of people in the household with them, but these are individuals they may not have seen in a while, or they have this perception that the family members they're living with don't understand what they've been through and they feel like they can't talk to them. Or they're separating and they may not have family to go home to. They could be a single service member, and so they just return maybe to their hometown, maybe they move somewhere to try something new. But again, that sense of community is almost ripped away from them. And most veterans, at least the ones we talk to, that's not something that they expected or they were really prepared for.
Are they provided with any information by the military during these reintegration trainings where they say, here is the local organizations in your area, here's the local veterans that you can contact and communicate with? It kind of sounds like they're left out to just fend for themselves.
Kind of sounds like that. And I can really only speak for my experience. Again, you know, there's dozens of bases throughout the United States and you know, however many across the world. And service members separate from bases inside the United States, bases in Germany and Italy, you know. So, just like, you know, there can be a dozen different podcasts, experiences may vary, right? Mm-hmm. And so I can really only speak on mine. We were given kind of the briefing on all of the national level of services. So general VA, you know, Department of Veterans Affairs programs. We had somebody talk to us about some organizations that can advocate for you when working with the VA. We had a couple local employers come and talk to us about jobs based in the Phoenix Valley area. And I mentioned we had somebody that came and talked with how to write a resume. There was a 30-minute brief on educational benefits. But generally, my session took about a week. I think I was there for 5 days. But you're definitely given a lot of information. Some of it may pertain to you, some of it may not, and some of this you may not draw upon or use those services for several years down the line. And that's something that we're seeing with participants too, is they know that there are services out there that are available, there may be benefits that they're entitled to, but it's been 3 or 4 years and they're now ready to use them, or now they're in a position where they need to use them. And so they're searching for the assistance to, you know, locate those benefits or what's the best way to actually use them.
So it's almost like they're finally maybe integrated back into the community and now they're ready to cope, or they're ready to address some of the issues and try to get them resolved. But it takes time.
It absolutely takes time. And some of them, it may not be that they're ready to. Some of them may be just searching for the next step, or they may be finding success in some areas of their life and they feel that it's time for them to start. Maybe they're trying to finish school so they can get that next good job, or they, you know, they found a new passion in life post-service and they want to capitalize on that passion, and they're trying to figure out how do I take the next step in whatever that new career field might be, or that new hobby, or whatever the case might be.
I'd like to hear some of what your personal story was, where you served and how you ended up where you are now compared to being in the military.
I joined the military in August of 1999. I did 1 year of college and just kind of wasn't for me at the time. And so I joined a peacetime army. This was, you know, pre-9/11. So I have a little bit different experience than some of our participants that joined after 9/11, what we call the post-9/11 veterans that joined specifically to deploy. But my first duty assignment was in the Old Guard. And then ironically, I was one of the first responders to the Pentagon following the attacks on September 11th. So that was, for, you know, a young 21-year-old kid, that was a real eye-opener, kind of forced me to grow up real quick. And I remember my grandfather talking to me about it. You know, for him, you know, it was the Pearl Harbor time period. So it was definitely that turning point in my life. From there, I went to Germany. I joined the 1st Infantry Division, multiple deployments over to Iraq, had our share of successes. You know, a lot of victories were made in the different areas we deployed to, but that came at a heavy toll. We had a lot of loss during those deployments, a lot of injuries, way too many memorials were attended while we were in country. After my time with 1st Infantry Division, I was assigned to Arizona State University. I served as an ROTC instructor. During my second deployment, hurt my back, and just being in the military, didn't get effective treatment. And so the back injury got worse and worse. I ended up having to have back surgery to correct some problems in my lower back. And that ended up me going to get a physical. I thought I was going to Fort Lewis, and then they decided that they were going to conduct a medical board, and after 15 years, I was medically retired. It was in that process that I kind of fell in love with diving, and I realized, you know, like I mentioned before, how therapeutic it was, not only physically, but mentally for me. Unfortunately, after my deployments and as I was at Arizona State, there was a slew of suicides from people that I had served with over the years. It was in a very short time period, and there was already this discussion about a problem with suicide amongst the veteran community, and it started to really hit home with me. Yeah, every couple of days we're hearing about a new person committing suicide, and I spoke with my wife, I spoke with my family, and we started discussing this idea. If diving was so therapeutic for me, as an alternative form of therapy, is this something we could offer other veterans, given that I had reached the point where I was instructing diving, and we were, you know, my wife and I were doing trips to these exotic locations. And so that's just kind of that timeline of how it all happened, I guess.
When you had all this pain before you had the surgeries or even after, did they prescribe just a bunch of medication for you rather than trying to do anything else as other treatments for it?
I was very fortunate in that I was able to see a civilian physician. So I wasn't going to a military hospital because I was stationed here at Arizona State. We don't have a military base close enough that had the doctor that I needed. And that was something that my doctor talked to me extensively about, was some of the risks of the different narcotic-based or opiate-based prescriptions that I was, you know, for lack of a better word, entitled to. Based on my injuries, he said, you absolutely can take these. We had a very long discussion about the risks basically involved with that. And then we'd also talk extensively about different therapy options. While they might be more painful, the benefits that they could pose kind of in the long run. And that's something that I think was really, really hit home for me. I saw a lot of friends, and I knew a lot of my buddies that had kind of gone down that road of taking the prescribed medication, and for lack of a, you know, better word, it destroyed their lives. You know, whether they were unable to manage it properly, you know, or they were unable to find a way to come off of that medication in a safe manner, it was not good for them in the long run. Yes, it kind of helped in the immediate with the pain, but it wasn't managed properly. And so that was something that I really thought long and hard about, and that's why I focused more on the physical therapy. And when the diving came about and being in the water, again, not only from the physical aspect, but Anissa, I think you would agree that any time I went diving afterwards, I think there was there was a change in me mentally, or I was a little bit more resilient after those experiences.
Well, absolutely. You were probably nicer to her, right, when you came home. So let's go ahead and explore that a little more. Anissa, why don't you give your experience on how this affects the spouse and the rest of the family when he does have these issues that he's coming back with from serving, and then the health concerns and the transition and the change by having these alternative treatments and therapeutic things installed into his life?
I think one of the most beneficial aspects, especially of diving in particular, obviously there are any number of alternative therapies out there that we advocate for. There's no one specific cure-all for each veteran. Everybody's going to find something that's a different passion for them. But for Josh, with 15 years of service in the military, he was a non-commissioned officer. He was used to leading, instructing, again, having a very regimented, you know, plan. Like you plan out your action and then you execute the action. And so being able to translate that to diving almost gave him a sense of purpose again, in that here we were building this program to give back and help other veterans. So here he was building his plan of how do we go about putting out an application and then taking all of the applicants and moving that onto a selection committee. And then from there, training all of these people across the U.S. and then transporting all of these people down to the Bahamas, getting them on a boat. Then you start the process with your gear before you get in the water. You have to put all of the different pieces of your gear together. You then have to go through the checklist and make sure all of the different aspects of the gear are functioning. Then you do the same to your dive buddy, which is, like Josh said earlier, kind of a mirror of what they experienced in the military with a battle buddy. So it's, I've got your back. I'm double checking to make sure that you're going to be okay and that I'm going to be okay before we get in the water. Then we execute our dive, and on the dive, we're experiencing something that's peaceful, something that's beautiful. And one of the things that I notice the most about diving is that you really are actively thinking about how you calm yourself and slow your breathing while you're underwater. And one of the main reason for that is because you don't want to, you know, run through your air consumption so fast that you don't get to experience all of these wonderful things. So you want to kind of regulate how you breathe. And that translates when you get back, you know, to the surface, when you're having an anxiety attack or some of those triggers of post-traumatic stress, you can then translate that into slowing your breathing, slowing your heart rate, calming yourself down, because you're going to remember that experience underwater. One of the things that we talk about in the counseling sessions is having kind of an emotional reaction to an event is why it is so vivid in your memory. And so having that emotional attachment underwater to this experience is also going to be something that triggers a positive memory in their minds when they're having that anxiety on the surface. So all of that kind of packaged together really did a number of wonderful things for Josh. Again, like I said, it gave him a sense of purpose. It gave him a sense of planning and execution, very much like he had in the military, to continue to give back. And in a way, he's continuing to serve just in a different area now, which is wonderful.
It not only helps him, it helps you, it helps the kids, it helps the whole family unit, and obviously the veterans that you guys are involved with.
Absolutely.
Talk about an actual trip that you guys have this summer. I believe that you're doing another voyage, how you select the veterans and what the trip's all about and what the experience is like, so everyone can understand.
Our application process is online. The applications are open for about a month. They were opened the 1st of January, closed at the end of the month. And then all of those applications are taken to a selection committee. Nisa and myself are not involved in the immediate process. And the primary reason is, you know, we have a lot of people that we know that we refer to our own program. And we want to make sure that there is the, no perception of favoritism. You know, we want individuals to be selected based on their application. The largest part of that application is a personal statement. So we briefly describe our program, and we talk about our three pillars, the mind, the body, and the soul. And as I mentioned before, you know, we kind of present a holistic approach to healing. We believe that those three concepts are mutually inclusive of one another. You can be in the best shape of your life, but if mentally all you focus on is the trauma, you may not be as productive in society post-service. You could have the sharpest mind in the world, but if you let your health deteriorate, if you were this amazingly fit individual in your time of service, and then because of the trauma, because of a loss of a regimented life, your health goes away, and you're not able to be there for family, for friends, you know, for your kids, that's as big of a travesty as having, you know, those mental struggles. We believe that spirituality is a very important part of your day-to-day life. We are a Christian-based organization. However, we don't require our participants to be of any specific faith denomination. In fact, we've had atheists participate on our retreat. But we do recognize that having some sort of faith or spirituality in your life is important. And in fact, one of the most recent VA studies found that individuals that lack any sort of faith or spirituality are more likely to commit suicide than those that do have that in their lives. We talk about that during our retreat is this holistic component of your life. So we ask individuals to really talk about that. You know, where are they in their journey post-service, physically, mentally, and spiritually? And then what do they hope to get out of the retreat? Obviously, the participants don't know what they're coming into regarding this experience, but we kind of want to know what they're trying to seek out of this program. One of the first things we tell our participants and that we tell potential donors when we talk to the public is, number one, there is no single solution for everybody, right? Just as everybody's trauma is slightly different, the solution to finding healing and progress is going to be slightly different for everyone. So we are not going to, A, fix anybody in 1 week. Years of service and potential trauma has got them to this point, and 1 week with us is not going to fix it. But we do tell everybody that we can be the catalyst for change as long as they are willing to open up, participate, and experience everything we have to offer them. And so we ask them to really talk about that, and we tell them the statement is the most important thing, because once their application is complete, those statements go to a selection committee that incorporates our counselor. Usually there's a chaplain or a former military chaplain, and then other individuals that have specialized and worked with other nonprofits. And they basically rate their statement on what we asked of them. We get all those statements back, and then we rank order them based on how they were scored by the five different selection committee members. And then we start the process and we say, okay, the top 14, 15, however many people we're able to take, they're our primaries, and then we have our alternates and then our non-selects. And we let all those individuals know. And then got 5 months or so between when that process was complete and our retreat. And that's kind of where we're at now. Individuals that are not dive certified, we work with local dive shops in their community, in their hometown, to conduct all their training so that when they come with on our retreat, they're ready to enjoy and experience everything the Exuma Keys waters have to offer. That's kind of the beginning in that interim process. And then you wanted to know about what happens actually on the retreat?
Oh, yeah. Let's just say it's the retreat's tomorrow and I'm at the airport. Now what?
Okay.
Yeah. I want to go to the Bahamas. So this is the closest I'm going to get is you describing it to me right now.
Sure. if you're like most of our participants, you're probably a little nervous. Again, most of these people don't know us. So there's a giant leap of faith to say, okay, I'm going to get on a plane and leave, you know, what I am comfortable or, you know, this environment that I normally feel safe, and I'm going to go to a foreign country, and I hope and I pray that there is somebody on the other side of security waiting for me. So you're probably a little nervous right now, but we work really hard. We stay in direct communication, especially those days leading up to the retreat. So you've probably gotten, you know, numerous emails from us, possibly phone calls, verifying everything. So we do our absolute best to encourage them and remind them that we are on the other side waiting for them. But there is a step of faith or a leap of faith that they are taking. And we actually talk about that on the retreat, that they took that leap of faith to come down there. Most of the participants, when they get down there, they're a little tired because it's early morning when they have to get to the airport. But it is absolutely amazing to be flying over those waters and then landing on that island. And when you show up, it's tropical. You know, it's humid. There's palm trees, and they're in this absolutely beautiful country with amazing, warm, friendly people. And we're right on the other side of security waiting for these men and women. A lot of them will end up traveling together. So you may be flying from Arizona, but you're most likely going to stop in Charlotte or Miami to change planes. And often we try and coordinate so our participants arrive in Charlotte and do that last leg from Charlotte or Miami down to Nassau together. They usually can recognize each other. We try and let them know who's going to be flying with whom. So once we get everybody down there, it's about a 20 to 30 minute van ride down to the docks. Most of the staff has been there for 24 hours prior, working with the boat crew, getting everything ready. We try and make that transition from the airport onto the boat as quick and seamless as possible. So we get the individuals down there. We have to do our typical safety briefings. It's funny. I always laugh because, you know, when they show up, inevitably everybody gets on the dock and they all line up almost like they're in a formation because they're getting a briefing. Or they all just get in a long line. And you can see them starting to revert back. And I always have to laugh about that. But we get them on the boat. And I think the chaos of the morning kind of takes over some of the nerves, which is great. But once they get on the boat, we start pushing out from the dock and we start heading out to sea. It's amazing watching, like I mentioned before, that transformation and them getting, you know, okay, this is what my life's going to be for the next week, and they completely embrace it. Every day the weather can be different. What's nice is we charter the entire vessel, and we do that for a number of reasons. Primarily though is we want our participants to be comfortable speaking in the small group sessions. We want them to feel comfortable opening up in front of staff without having, you know, 100 random civilians walking through a session and then possibly shutting down. So we've tried to create and provide for the participants a very secure environment where they can open up and be themselves. Veterans, my wife laughs all the time. She can tell when I'm around other veterans because we act differently. We let our guard down in a completely different manner. Even if they're veterans that I've only known for a short time period, and Nisa always laughs about that because she always says you're so different around them. And it isn't such a good way because I'm able to draw upon those positive experiences. I'm more likely to open up. I'm more likely to find healing when I'm in that group environment. The trip out of the harbor lasts about 3 to 4 hours. Could be a little bit longer depending on the weather. Last year, there was a number of big storms, as everyone I'm sure remembers. So we were having to dodge different low pressure systems and all that. So it was a little rough going out. That night we found, you know, nice calm waters, and generally once we get out to the area that we're going to be operating in, it really is smooth waters the entire time. And then every day we kind of structure it to be very similar, again getting routine back into these men and women's lives. Every morning we open up with a devotional, and we talk about historical figures and their struggles with war, their struggles with, while it wasn't called post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, they went by different names throughout history. We talk about these experiences with very famous men and women that all of our participants have heard about, but they may not have realized that they share a struggle with these historical figures. We kind of follow these stories throughout the week. After that, our counselor, Jeff, he's a 20-year Navy veteran. He was an F-14 pilot that has transitioned into being a licensed counselor. He specializes in PTSD counseling and alternative therapy. He's out of Dallas. He leads an hour to an hour and a half session, and he takes them on this journey of defining PTSD, defining trauma to what does it look like in the individual veteran's life, what does it look like in other veterans so that one person can see it in somebody else, and then how does that trauma interact with family, friends, their coworkers, people they go to school with. So how does that trauma propagate out of their own life and impact other individuals? And that's actually a session that Nisa leads. And then we look at healing, not necessarily in the immediate, but how do we take their experiences of their time at sea, the lessons that they've learned, not only from Jeff, but we try and draw upon successes found in our participants. what have they found that has worked in the day-to-day lives? And then we try and look at what is the roadmap to success look like long-term? Again, we're not going to heal them in a week, but we can be the catalyst for change. So how can we take these experiences that they've had for the last 6 days and go forward with it? Kind of throughout the day, that's when we do all of our activities. So we're diving, snorkeling, exploring all these remote islands. So that's when they're getting those physical activities in. We eat very, very well. Most people cannot believe what these cooks can do on these boats. The food is absolutely amazing. We have an evening session where Jeff kind of continues in his journey. We do an evening devotional where we kind of reflect on the day. We'll often do a night dive, which is a first for many people. It's also a time when they can really overcome some fears. Diving in the pitch black ocean can be daunting. But again, you know, we're pushing some comfort zones here. After that, they have free time. Some of them like to stay up and talk. Some like to rack out early. But it's amazing. It's usually by about the second night, the deep conversations start to happen. You hear a lot of people opening up. And that's about the time some tears might be shed from stories and some people kind of having the courage to open up and some, you know, admit some wrongdoings that they've done in their lives or whatever the case may be. It's an amazing transformative process that we see each day that the veterans go through. And over our last two retreats, you know, this will be our third one. We've learned from some of the areas that we can improve upon, and that's what we do every year. We try and grow the program to make sure we're capitalizing on all the goods, and anything that didn't go as well, we try and pull that out of the program. The results are absolutely amazing, and what's great to see is in speaking and still see our past participants, we still get to interact with them, kind of seeing what they have done since attending our program has always been the biggest reward for, I think, both Nisa and myself.
You've done a few of these. Is there any stories in any of the veterans, their transition that really stand out that you just go, wow, I can't believe the change?
Yeah, and I think, Nisa, you should, because this is actually it's an ongoing process. But, yeah, Nisa, I think you should really talk about that.
Obviously, we see incredible things in all of our veterans and some that really stand out. One of our participants from the first year went home after the retreat and continued diving quite a bit. Actually found a job working with a local dive shop where he lives. He's actually based out of Florida and went through all of the further steps in diving instruction to become certified as a dive master. And we actually brought him back as a staff member for our retreat last year. And this is something that he's hoping to continue on now that he's completed that level of training to continue on as an instructor himself and be able to give back in his local community there in Florida, because there's a huge veteran community there locally. So, I mean, that's just incredible to me that he's taken this experience, you know, found his passion and is now using that to translate one into a new career for himself post-service and two into a way that he can give back in his own local community. And then another participant who's just very near and dear to my heart is here locally. She reached out to me recently, and like I said, there are so many different forms of alternative therapy, and one of them is art therapy, and that really has been her passion. And she reached out and said, I have an idea. I want to do like a wine and paint night as a fundraiser for Valkyries to give back. She goes, but I want to be in charge of it. She goes, I want to teach the class. I want to choose the painting that we're going to do and lead this because I love this. And for someone who has more of a social anxiety and has been really working through the process of being in groups of people, that's an enormous step. And wanting to do this to give back to the organization because she had such an incredible experience and because it really did provide that catalyst to her to kind of change things and take a step forward and start reaching out and exploring other treatment options for herself here in the Valley. Just the change in her has been amazing. So those are two that just really stand out to me.
The thing that's really interesting is that was not really the intention when you started this program. It's taking a mind of its own as to what these individuals are doing once they're given the opportunity to get in touch with this other side, resolve some issues, and the tools that you're giving them. They're taking it to a whole nother level that you probably never expected.
And that's just it. I mean, that's what we were hoping it would do. Like we said, we wanted it to be the catalyst for change, and to get them out of that almost victim mentality of why me, now what? And having the drive to go out and find other avenues that bring them joy. That one of the things that we talk about in the counseling sessions that is writing your next chapter. Like, your story isn't over just because your service is finished. I mean, you have an entire life and all different chapters that are going to continue throughout your life. So what are you going to do now in your next chapter? And so here they are coming back to us and saying, here, this is what I'm doing. I would like to do this. Or can, and we've had people reach out to us and say, I want to start my own nonprofit in my organization. I mean, another one is doing a veteran farming community in Tennessee. He's got a farm and he's bringing other veterans in to do hands-on work farming because it's something that's therapeutic for him. So really, again, being that catalyst and even after the fact, being a sounding board, you know, they've got our phone number. They can call us anytime and say, hey, I've got a question. Is there an organization you could recommend? Or is there a direction you could point me in? Or could you guys help me with this? We're here. I mean, we want to be that help and support system, just like they had in the military, that camaraderie. We're just giving them another extended branch of their military family to continue to rely on now post-service.
And I think that's very important. One of the things when Nisa and I started talking about this is we said we didn't want to be a one-and-done experience, meaning we didn't want them to come to us for a weekend and then go, and they could say, oh, that was fun, but what's next thing? Our participants, we survey them quite a bit because we want to see where they're coming from. It's amazing, you know, 75% of the people that we bring on our trips, they tell us that they have struggled to forgive themselves for something that they have either seen or something they've done, yet the same amount miss being deployed, you know, miss having those experiences. Same time, 90% of them have said they experienced some sort of moral guilt, so, you know, they feel guilty for something that they had to do. 95% say that feel like they've lost their community, and nearly half of them are worried that they won't find peace post-service. So these are all very like-minded men and women. And so through the shared experience of our retreat, a common past, the group that they form, and then the way they're able to keep into contact and continue being a sounding board, not only with us, but against one another and continuing to support each other, is absolutely amazing. We've got participants that were doing a big bike ride. I think it was this past weekend. They went and rode several hundred miles. So staying physically active. We have individuals that are doing adventure races together. We have individuals that are doing hunting trips together. It's building that community, but then they're able to rely on each other. They're able to continue that healing process. And like Nisa said, to find a purpose post-service and to take these experiences, we say, okay, you've had these injuries, you've had this trauma, you survived. Now take those experiences and go thrive. And I think that's what our participants are showing they can do using those lessons that they learned during their week at sea with us.
Sounds like they get so much out of the program and their retreats. Obviously, you'd want to help more if you could. So it goes on to the reality of the money, right? Because these things are not cheap and you're offering these services to these veterans for free. What fundraisers are you doing and how can people help financially support so more veterans can go on these retreats?
Coming up, we have a martial arts organization actually here in the Valley that has a number of schools that's doing a silent art fundraiser coming up here on the 24th of March. And then, like I said, one of our past participants, Kelly, is doing her inaugural wine and paint night, which is going to take place on the 7th of April. And people can actually go onto our website and purchase tickets for that. We are capping the number of tickets that we are selling for that just because, obviously, space. We're doing this in a private art studio in someone's home. and we want to kind of see how it goes the first time. But we're hoping to make this a monthly recurring event that will be a fundraiser for Valkyries. We will also, again, in the fall, be doing our big raffle fundraiser. We had some really incredible packages that we put together last year. We did like almost a date night for a year where you had 12 different restaurants that donated gift cards so that you could go out to dinner. We had different activities like tickets to the symphony and movie tickets and all of these different fun activities. So that's something that we'll be putting together again in the fall. And then at any given point, if someone wants to make a donation to the program, they can go on our website and either donate directly through the website. There is a donation page on there that will take them to a secure processor if they want to do it that way. Or if they want to mail a check in to us, they can do that as well, because some people are obviously more comfortable with going that route.
Can you give the website and your phone number also?
Absolutely. Our website is pretty easy, deepseavalkyries.com. And our address is P.O. Box 604, and that's Higley, Arizona, 85236.
The next voyage you guys have is already closed, right? So any participants that are interested, they have to look for next year's retreat.
Correct. So we recommend right now that if people are interested, they can either go through the website and go through our contact form and send us an email saying that they're interested in notifications for next year. Because we do that, we keep a list of all of the people that notify us through the year after the application window closes, and then we send out an email to them when the next application window opens. But we also recommend we're on all social media. So follow us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter. We have updates and notifications on all three forums saying, you know, applications are now open. Here's the website. Here's the link to go directly to the application form. We'll give dates as far as, you know, applications will be open from 1 January to 31 January or whatever it ends up being for next year. And then we do reminders throughout that process of 2 weeks remaining to apply, couple days left. Make sure you get your applications in. Today's the last day. So we try and do a very good job of keeping up on those different forms of media so people who are following us on those formats know that the applications are open and being accepted.
And of course, that's for the nationwide veterans out there. If they're a local veteran, if they're in Arizona, particularly in the greater kind of Phoenix area, reach out to us. If they're interested in diving, let us know. Nice and I, we can pretty much dive year round. I'm an instructor. We work with Dive Arizona and some other local shops to do training throughout the year for local veterans. So if they want to see what diving is all about, if they want to do a discovery dive where local pool, it's heated, it's kind of a, you know, try this on for size, see if it's something that would interest them. We're more than happy to set that up. It's a part of our passion. It's therapeutic for me anyways. And if it can help another veteran, we're more than happy to do that. So if they're local, reach out to us. We'd be happy to set something up when, you know, everybody's schedules can kind of align.
So do either of you have any final thoughts before we end the show today?
For me, there are a lot of great organizations out there. Alternative therapy, I think, is really where the future is. 2016 VA study showed that 20 veterans a day are dying by suicide. The rate of suicide, it's becoming an epidemic in the veteran community. 20 a day is absolutely insane. Younger veterans are the fastest growing rate of suicides. However, female veterans are 2.5 times more likely to commit suicide than their civilian counterparts. This is a real problem. The VA has shown through their studies that opioid-based addictions are one of the number one contributors to this problem. Alternative therapies, we really believe that's where long-term health and healing is really going to come from. If there's people out there looking to support an amazing organization, please take a look at us. We're more than happy to answer any questions. We tell all of our donors, everyone that's contributing and supporting us, you are really changing lives. And you're not just changing the life of a single veteran. When that veteran goes home and they are a better spouse, when they're a better father, a better mother, a better son or daughter, a better family member, a more productive employee, that's really where that return on that investment is, or that return on the donation comes from. This past weekend, Nisa and I had the opportunity in Dallas to meet up with some previous participants, and it's great hearing it from the veteran, but I think when the spouse hugs Nisa and says, thank you, he's a different man, you know, she's a different woman, it's a different person, that's where that true reward comes from, I think. Would you agree, Nisa?
Oh, absolutely. And from the spouse perspective, you know, having seen the healing, obviously myself in Josh over the years of how diving has changed him, to hear that other spouses are seeing that same difference in their veterans is awesome.
That's just wonderful. I want to thank you, Josh, for your service. And I want to also thank you both for your passion for what you're trying to do to help all of those veterans out there that did serve on our behalf. I really appreciate you coming on today. And all of your information is going to be on our website. We're going to promote your events so we can get some exposure, get some fundraising in your direction. So I just want to thank you both again.
Thanks so much, Michelle.
We appreciate it. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. You've been listening to Everything Home, where we talk about life, stuff, and balance. And we had the opportunity today to showcase one of our veteran nonprofit partners, Deep Sea Valkyries. All their information will be on our website, which is everythinghomepodcast.com. And again, hope you enjoyed the show, and thanks for listening. Have a wonderful day.
You've been listening to Everything Home with Michelle Swinnett.